following program is brought to you in living color on
DailyGazette.com or wherever you get your podcast.
The Gazette News Group presents the Parting Shots Podcast. Now, here's your host, Ken Schott.
Thank you, Scott Kesey, and welcome to the Parting Shots Podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe today. Thanks for joining me from the Parting Shots Podcast Studio in Schenectady, New York. It's a college hockey-centric podcast on this Thursday edition. Of course, you heard from men's head coach Josh Howdy, the Union men's head coach, on Wednesday's podcast. And we talked about the games last weekend against Colgate and Cornell, the two victories, and previewed this weekend's Harvard and Dartmouth matchups. Those will be the final home games of the regular season for the Garner Chargers. They're hoping for at least one game in the ECAC hockey tournament at M&T Bank Center, maybe more than one if they can get a first-round bye. In fact, they take on Harvard Friday night at 7 o'clock, team that's right now in that final first-round bye slot, Union 5 points behind the Crimson for that spot. And then Dartmouth on Saturday, 5 o'clock face-off. And after the game, nine seniors will be honored. Those seniors are Brandon Burr, Ethan Benz, Nate Hanley, Carter Corpy, Parker Lindauer, Colby MacArthur, Cal Mell, Brendan Miles, and Nick Young. You'll hear from all those seniors coming up in the next few minutes as I try to battle this coughing. Excuse me. I'm going to try to plow through this. I'm not going to stop the recording here, but this cold has been a freaking annoying. So we'll talk to those nine seniors with separate interviews for most of them. So you'll get to hear from them. The Union women are on the road for the ECAC Hockey Tournament first round game. They'll take on Clarkson at 3 p.m. Friday at Chio Arena in Potsdam. Union the number 12 seed, Clarkson the number 5 seed. We'll hear from Union women's head coach Tony Macy and players Stephanie Bork and Maddie Leaney. And I'll speak with Harvard men's head coach Ted Donato. He's now the all-time winningest coach in Harvard men's hockey history, passing the man who was his coach for that 1989 national championship team, Bill Cleary. So we're going to talk to Ted a little bit about that. So coming up, we'll talk Union men's and women's hockey here on the Parting Shots Podcast.
Are you an enthusiastic sports fan? Want to have fun and get in on the action?
Heck yes, that'd be awesome.
Have great attention to detail? Want to stay active?
Definitely.
Want to give back to the student athletes in your community?
Obviously, yes!
Then you'd make an excellent high school sports official. We need more officials in New York, because with no high school officials, there are no high school sports. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
Welcome back to the podcast. As we mentioned at the top, Union men in action this weekend at home, the final home games of the regular season at M&T Bank Center, with Harvard on Friday night at 7 and Dartmouth on Saturday at 5 p.m. And of course, after the game, nine Union men's hockey seniors will be honored. And on Tuesday, I had a chance to talk with a lot of them to reflect on their careers. We're going to first start off with Nate Hanley, follow that up with Ethan Benz, and then Brendan Miles, Cal Mell, and Carter Corpy. Let's begin with Nate Hanley. Nate, how big is this weekend coming up for your final home games of the regular season?
Yeah, it's a huge weekend. Obviously, there's some openings in the playoff spot, so we need these 6 points and hopefully head up the ranks a little bit.
Not having Brandon in the lineup had to be a little frustrating, but the fact you guys scored 11 goals without him in the lineup, what does that say about this team?
Yeah, it's definitely huge to show how deep we are, and that we could score that many goals without Brandon, who's obviously a heck of a goal scorer.
What do you miss about him not being in the lineup?
Scoring goals and his locker room presence are obviously two huge things.
How big of a weekend is this, considering you guys are still in the hunt for first-round bye? You take on Harvard Friday night, team you're 5 points behind for that last spot, and, of course, Dartmouth on Saturday, team is giving you trouble. So how big is this weekend to keep that fight alive for home ice first-round bye?
Yeah, I mean, it's the biggest weekend of the year. Obviously, we all want the bye really bad and home ice for the second round, so hopefully we can get that.
But your final two regular season home games, obviously, you're most likely to be playing at least one, maybe more than one, here at M&T Bank Center. Looking back on your career here, between the move from Messerink to here, a lot of excitement with this program with Josh Howdy as a head coach. He's been your head coach all 4 years here. What has your career been like at Union?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a heck of a 4 years. So many great guys, so many great memories, and obviously the coaching staff has been unbelievable. We've had some good teams, so excited to finish it off, hopefully with an ECAC championship.
Ethan, just can you reflect on your 4 years here at Union? You know, obviously your final two regular season home games coming up this weekend. We'll probably have at least one more, possibly two or three more. So what do you remember about your 4 years here at Union?
Yeah, it's a little bittersweet. It's coming to an end, but I couldn't be more thankful for the 4 years I've had here. I've made, like, second families here, and this place has been like a second home for me, so it's been a really great experience.
Any particular memory that sticks out?
Nothing too particular. I just remember our senior class has always been super tight, always doing everything together since the first day we got here, so we're like a band of brothers almost, so.
Brendan, I want to get your thoughts. You know, 3 years here at Union, what are your most memorable moments?
Yeah, I think about a lot of different things. Obviously, the Ireland trip this year was pretty incredible. I think about, like, even after getting a sweep or getting a win on a Saturday, just hanging out with everybody after the game, celebrating, things like that. I think those are, like, really the things that I'll look back on and just – be so appreciative that I made good friends like that. So,
Cal, for you, what are your most memorable moments?
I'm gonna have to go with the friendships as well, especially in today's world with the transfer portal. Guys are heading in and out, but you know, we've kept a pretty big core group here that, you know, we never talked about it, but kind of subconsciously we all just decided to stick around just because we're having so much fun. Then we had some great addition like B Miles, Percy. Just couldn't be better than that.
Carter, for you, your most memorable?
Yeah, same thing. Definitely the relationships. It's some guys that I'll never forget, and they'll always be friends for life. And yeah.
Now the four other seniors we're going to talk to are Brandon Burr, Parker Lindauer, Nick Young, and Colby MacArthur. We talked a little bit also about the game. In fact, that Brandon Burr questionable still for this weekend. He missed the Colgate-Cornell games with a lower body injury. He has practiced. You heard Josh Algy mention that on Wednesday's podcast, so still not sure if Burr will be ready, but of course, you know, team leader with 17 goals. He was not missed, obviously, over the weekend, Union scoring 11 goals in the victories over Colgate and Cornell, but having a sniper like Burr in the lineup, especially for these key games, and Union can use him. So let's hear from Brandon Burr, Parker Lindauer, Nick Young, and Colby MacArthur. Parker, let's begin with you. How are you feeling? I'm sorry, Brandon. Sorry, I'm going to start with you. How are you feeling right now?
Much better. Definitely better this week.
How frustrating was it to miss games? There's only the first two games you missed since your freshman year. I mean, how frustrating was it?
I mean, I wouldn't say frustrating. Like, I'm disappointed I couldn't play, but the boys got the job done, so I couldn't be happier for what happened.
Yeah, talk about that, because, I mean, obviously you're the top goal scorer, and to see this team score 11 goals in two games without you in the lab, I mean, is that, how encouraging is that as we head down the home stretch?
I think it's super encouraging. I mean, everyone on our team knows it now. Hopefully the league knows it, that we can all score goals, and it doesn't have to be me.
Obviously now, big weekend. You're still in the chase for first round bye. You got the team you want to get past. Harvard, they're 5 points up on you right now. Then, of course, Dartmouth on Saturday. So how big is this weekend to continue the role you guys are on?
Yeah, it's a big weekend. We need to keep it going. But as I mentioned last week, it's just one game at a time. We got to focus on Harvard first and then Dartmouth after.
Parker?
Yeah, kind of same thing. Obviously, we want to finish as high in the stands as possible. But we're just going to control what we can control. We can't really control the other games going around throughout the weekend. So we're going to focus on Harvard first and then move to Dartmouth Saturday.
Nick?
Yeah, I mean, we all know every game from here on out is going to be important, but just keep echoing the message that, you know, we take things one at a time, one shift at a time, in order to really not look over anybody and get every win possible we can.
Backtracking a little bit, Colby, with a question I had about with Brandon, without him in the lab, you guys scoring 11 goals over the weekend. I mean, how important was that?
Yeah, really important. Obviously, maybe we would have scored 15 with Brandon in the lineup. He's our best goal scorer, so yeah, but it was nice to get some goals without him.
Yeah, just going back down the line, to after conference play maybe hasn't gone the way you guys wanted, to complete that comeback Friday night and then complete your first weekend sweep in ECAC play, how big was that for confidence going forward down the stretch?
Yeah, really important. Obviously, you want to play your best hockey at the end of the year, so getting that sweep last week and then hopefully another one this weekend, so enough of that.
yeah, I was really happy that we were able to get that sweep. I think that's something that we really needed to prove to the group that we can sweep an ECAC weekend. And like Colby said, just leading into playoffs, it's the time to get hot. And so that was a really good weekend for us.
Let me ask you guys, the seniors here, start with Brandon. You know, you're 3 years here. What sticks out? What are the most memorable moments of playing here at Union?
I mean, winning the Mayor's Cup is always nice, but I probably could go with the Ireland trip. That was once in a lifetime experience, and it was a great time.
Parker, for you, 2 years. What are you happy with the move to, and how? What are your most memorable moments?
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe I wish I could have got here a little earlier than I did, but I'd have to say the Ireland trip too. That's once in a lifetime.
Nick, for you, you were one of, Josh said you were one of the late recruits you got here. You know, obviously when he joined the program here, what are your most memorable moments playing here?
Yeah, I mean, I think I always think back to my first game ever, and you know, it was really packed, and it's a crazy feeling that you're never really going to replicate. But then other than that, like these boys said, Ireland trip was something that's super memorable and I'm never going to forget forever.
Colby?
Yes, obviously the Ireland trip, the Mayor's Cups, but I think the lifetime friendships that we've made, it's great.
Just back to you guys talked about getting hot at the right time. What are some of those steps that you need to continue taking in order to be playing your best hockey down the stretch of the regular season and into the playoffs?
Yeah, obviously just playing confident. We all know what way we need to play. We need to play hard. We need to come to forecheck. So we can continue that going into the playoffs. I think we have a great opportunity.
Yeah, I think it just kind of stems from our practice. We have good practices all week, and guys are dialed in to the little details and focusing on the right things that leads into the weekend. And I think that last week was our best week of practice, and it led into the weekend. So kind of just focusing on every day in practice, staying mentally sharp, physically sharp, that's a pretty big key.
Yeah, I mean, the days leading up to the weekend, I guess, are kind of what we look for. If we're banged up, if we're hurt, or if we need to take a day off, we will. Just like Brandon, we want everybody to be healthy at the end of the year, and that's kind of our goal, is to get hot at the right time and play with confidence.
I don't really know how I can answer that. They said it perfectly there.
Now let's talk about the Union women's hockey team. Their season on the line Friday at 3 o'clock. They'll take on Clarkson in the ECAC Hockey Tournament first-round single elimination game. So a lot of work in store for Union, trying to pull off an upset against the fifth-seeded Golden Knights. And Clarkson in an unusual position of being in a first-round game. They're normally in the top four in a first-round bye, but they – league this year was very tight and very competitive, and so we'll see what happens with Union. The Garner Chargers lost both meetings against Clarkson this season, so we had a chance to talk with Tony Macy, the women's head coach, on Tuesday, and here's what he had to say. Tony, Friday, Clarkson, you're back, of course, that's your place you coached there for a while. I mean, how special of a matchup is this on Friday?
You know, haven't been there for as many years as I was, being on the staff with Matt and, you know, being part of that program and having some really good success there. You know, it's always good to go back there. My wife's family's from there. My kids were all born there. So for me, it's kind of cool because I get to go back, see some family. But at the same time, it's one of those ones where you want to go back and make sure you get the job done.
What do you have to do? That's a big question. Obviously, they're a ranked team. They beat you guys by a combined 10-3 this year. What do you have to do?
Well, I think we got to make sure that we don't give them any easy ice anywhere. We got to make sure that we're playing hard within the dots. You know, we got some things that we're going to work on this week that are specific to their team. So really being able to focus in on that, not having to worry too much. Like normally you do on a weekend where you have two different opponents, where now you can put all your focus on one. So I think the big thing is just making sure that we defend hard. And then when we get chances, especially special teams, we got to take advantage of those.
How important will it be to keep the offense going? I mean, you got the 1-0 victory over Dartmouth. You didn't really do much after the first period goal, but I guess Harvard, you had plenty of chances, just couldn't bury it. So how important will it be to play like that game against Harvard and bury the chances?
Yeah, I think, you know, game against Dartmouth, we were working on a few things to try and get some video for this week. So might have been a little bit too worried about the defensive side of stuff. So got back into some other things on Harvard to try and generate some offensive video clips that we needed as well. So I think the big thing is just going to be able to show them what we were doing well and then being able to execute it in practice and then take it into the game.
Yeah, I mean, this is a Clarkson team that's ranked very highly in the country. They're going to have good moments in this game. How do you make sure this team doesn't get dipped too low when something doesn't go their way?
I think a lot of that just you got to settle in and trust that our structure is going to be able to make them have to go through five people. Like, again, they're a good team. They've been able to play hard all year against really good opponents as well. So the big thing for us, I think, is, you know, got to have good defense, and our goaltenders have been playing well, so making sure that we let them see pucks and help us keep us in the game.
How important will it be? Emma's going to start on Friday in that game. How important will it be for her first big test with the playoffs here?
Yeah, I haven't really made a decision yet, but, you know, I think both goalies have been ready. So, you know, Emma had the start last time at Clarkson, so she does have the experience of playing there. So I think the big thing is just making sure whoever's ready to go is comfortable. Obviously, for a good thing, Monia's not going to be back. She's going for a bronze medal. So for us, we're just making sure that we have both goalies ready to go.
You did, you know, play overtime game up there last year. I mean, can you look at that game and, you know, maybe at that film and see what you guys did to get that game to overtime and maybe pull out a win?
Probably not that game. They had a completely different team last year. Their back end was really strong. Obviously, Haley Wynn, who's on the U.S. team right now, was there, and a couple others that are already in the PWHL making money there. So I don't think we can draw too much off of that. We just got to look at, you know, how they played against their last opponents, the Princetons, the Cornells, the teams that had success against them, and try to do the same thing.
When you're one of the teams that's going on the road in the first round of the playoffs, you know, you may be viewed as an underdog. Does that allow you guys to play with a little less pressure and just go out, play free, play loose?
To an extent, I think the big thing is, like, it's playoff hockey, right? If you can't get up for playoff hockey, then we're probably in the wrong business. So, you know, this is what you work for. You know, 2 years ago, this wouldn't have even been a game because they only had eight teams. So for us, you know, we've just been working towards playoffs and trying to get ourselves mentally ready to play one team. So we've been really stressing just, hey, give us one more day. That's all we want.
Can you take any experience of last year's game at Brown winning there into this game?
I think so. I think that's a good one that we can draw from. You know, they were ahead of us. You know, we had success during the year against them, but we knew that we were going to have to put a pretty flawless game together. And it came down to making sure it was tough on them, not giving them chances on the power play to get things going, and being able to bury our chance, which, you know, Carrie-Anne was able to get both. One as an empty netter, but, you know, we stayed out of the box and didn't give them those extra chances. So I think that's going to be a big one.
Did it surprise you that Clarkson, a team normally contending for a regular season title, finished fifth this year? Is that maybe a testament to how tight the league was this year?
I mean, the whole league came down to the last games, basically, right? So we ended up having co-champions with Yale and Princeton, and even going into Friday, there were teams from 1 to 7 that could have intermixed all the way through. So I think it just is a testament to how strong our league is. And then, you know, I think that the games themselves are just tighter now. There's a lot more teams that defend better. There's a lot more teams that you know, still have the high offense, but their secondary groups are now better than they were in the past. So I think it's just a testament to, one, the coaching in our league, but also the players.
Now let's hear from team captain and senior defenseman Stephanie Bork and junior forward Maddie Delaney. I also want to thank Stephanie for coming out every week except for 1 week. She missed the Mayor's Cup press conference. I don't understand that one. I gave a little rough time about that, but yeah, Stephanie was insightful, and I always appreciate her coming over and, you know, spending a few minutes with the media at M&T Bank Center on Tuesday. So here are Stephanie Bork and Maddie Delaney. Well, big weekend here for you. Friday, Clarkson, tough opponent, obviously, nationally ranked. What do you got to do to pull off the upset?
Yeah, I think we just have to be in the right mindset, and I think we just really have to focus on having a good defensive zone and getting for the D to get pucks quick up to our forwards and putting pressure that way. I think if we focus on not giving them time and space in our D zone, then we'll have more success in the O zone. So I think that's really what we have to stick with this weekend.
Maddie?
Yeah, I agree with everything Steph said. I think it's just being confident in our structure and being confident in our skill level and within each other in the locker room and everything, and just playing a hard D zone, giving them no time and space, and I think we'll be just fine.
Yeah, the game against Dartmouth on Friday, you guys only won 1-0. You didn't get much offensive chances after that first goal. You had a lot more chances against Harvard. I think Tony was saying you were experimenting with some things in that game on Friday. What did you learn from this weekend, and how do you apply it to Clarkson?
Yeah, I think it's just getting ready for playoff hockey. Playoff hockey, there's not really going to be a game where it's 7-1 or anything. It's going to be close games. So learning how to protect a lead against Dartmouth, and then learning how, when it is a close game, keep getting chances against Harvard and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes playoff hockey, things aren't going to go your way, so it's just really sticking with it and having belief in your system. We were trying something new, and I think we did a decent job with it, and I think it was good to practice it against a different team, not just against our team when we know what to do. So I think it was just putting us in the right frame of mind, but I think a game like a playoff game, it's always a tight game, crazy atmosphere and things like that, so things aren't always going to go your way, so you just have to kind of stick with it.
Yeah, last year you went down to Brown and won that game down there. How much do you take confidence from that and trying to go up to Chiel on Friday and try to pull off the same result?
Yeah, I mean, last year was last year. I think we had a different team. I think this year we have a lot of belief in our locker room. We might be the underdog, and people might not think that we have a chance, but it's always good to have that underdog mindset. So we have nothing to lose. So it's kind of just really taking it day by day, and we just want another day to fight, and that's what we're going to do on Friday.
Yeah, having that underdog mindset, does that allow you guys to go into this one a little bit looser, pressure's off, kind of just go play a game?
I think for me personally, maybe a little bit, just knowing that a lot of people might have doubts about us, but I think like we know what we can do in our locker room, and our coaches have a ton of belief, and I think we're really excited to play, and we're really excited for an opportunity, and I think that'll be good opportunity, not just for this year, but for the program in general.
Yeah, I think what we're doing right now is our motto is just one day at a time and just fighting for another day. So that's we're going to go in on Friday and just get our all.
Yeah, you both mentioned playoff games can get tight. It's going to be nitty gritty. It's going to be tough to battle. Holding on against Dartmouth, holding on to the Mayor's Cup, holding on to those slim leads and finding ways to those tight, intense games come out on top. How does those games give you guys confidence going in?
Yeah, I think those games definitely teach you a lot. I think in both games you kind of notice like we get caught in our D zone kind of the last couple minutes, so learning how to bear down, and we kind of say a lot on the bench, like settle in. That's going to be huge going into playoffs.
Yeah, and I think it's not just always about going into that protective mindset, like, you know, oh, we have a lead, so we need to kind of step back and not be as offensive. I think it's just, yeah, we do have a lead, but we got to keep pushing forward and keep doing that. So I think those games definitely helped us learn that, and also how to kind of bear down, like Maddie said, and block shots. And, you know, like a bruise at the end of the day, it's going to hurt, but nothing feels better than winning a playoff game.
Yeah, I mean, just for as two leaders on the team, what's kind of the mindset going in? Word spread to the other girls about dealing with some adversity. This is a good team. They're going to find a way to have some sort of momentum play at some point.
Yeah, I think it's just really having confidence in our system and having a lot of belief in our locker room. We proved it day in and day out that we do put a ton of work in, and this is like what we've been working for all season. So I think everyone is in the right frame of mind, but it's just pushing that, you know, it's going to be hard, but we do have to do the little things right and focus on having like good sticks in the D zone and playing the body, and that's kind of what we've been preaching to the locker room.
What do you have to do for the previous two games against Clarkson? What do you have to do differently this time? Besides, obviously, score more goals, the obvious answer. But what do you have to do differently as far as getting them frustrated?
Yeah, I think staying out of the box is a big one. They have a good power play, obviously, but I think definitely another one. I think the first game against them, we played okay. I think the second game was a lot better for us and was good for our confidence, and I think it's just really harping in the D zone to be able to not give them that much respect. Obviously, they're a good team, and we know that, but it's just really making sure that we're not giving them any time and space. As soon as they have the puck, a guarded jersey is going to be all over them.
Coming up, we'll talk with Harvard and men's head hockey coach Ted Donato, whose team comes to M&T Bank Center on Friday to take on the Union College men's hockey team. You're listening to the Parting Shots Podcast.
The ECAC Hockey Championship returns to Lake Placid, New York this March. Witness the first ever ECAC Hockey Women's Championship in Lake Placid on March 6th and 7th, and the Men's Championship on March 20th and 21st. It happens at the legendary Herb Brooks Arena, the home of miracles.
You believe in miracles? Yes!
Don't miss the battle for the 2026 title and an NCAA bid. Tickets are on sale now at LakePlacidOlympicCenter.com. ECAC Hockey, the educated decision.
Welcome back to the podcast. My next guest became the all-time winningest hockey coach in Harvard men's hockey history earlier this season. And this team will be at M&T Bank Center to take on Union at 7 p.m. on Friday night. It's head coach Ted Donato. Ted, welcome to the podcast. How are things going?
Thanks, Ken. Great to be on. You know, kind of in the grind right now, so a lot of mixed emotions at this time of year. You know, feel on top of the world after a good win, and then you feel like you're in the bottom of the barrel after a tough loss. So a lot of emotional roller coaster over the last few weeks, but really excited to see if we can finish strongly.
Yeah, it's been a tight year. I mean, Quinnipiac's starting to pull away a little bit. We see Dartmouth and Cornell were tied at one point. It was a three-way tie at one point at the top of the standings. I mean, in your years of playing and coaching in this conference, have you ever seen it so tight like this late in the season?
No, it's really interesting, and I mean I think we often hear hey, this anybody could do this, and the reality is there's some truth to that, but the top few teams are certainly separated, but I do feel this year more so than any other year I can remember. I think there are teams, in the middle and even towards the bottom that I think are capable of playing some really good hockey, and it would not surprise me to see them in, Lake Placid and be dangerous in Lake Placid as well.
Yeah.
So that's kind of my take. I feel like Quinnipiac has kind of separated from the crowd, and everybody else is trying to really find their groove. I think Cornell had a long stretch where they played really well. Obviously Dartmouth had an incredible start, but I think right now there's a lot of different teams that I'm sure feel like they're playing their best hockey of the year.
Yeah. As I mentioned in the open, you passed. You became the all-time winningest men's hockey coach at Harvard, surpassing the man who was your coach when you played there, and of course, the guy that you was in the national championship in 1989, Bill Cleary. What was that moment like when you guys beat Brown 7-3 to become the all-time winningest coach?
It was a cool moment. I think. We had Coach Cleary come on the ice. That meant a lot to me just because, both professionally and personally, the impact that he's had on me and, all the players that had the, fortune of playing for him. So I think that was great. It does get me to think about, how grateful I am, to be at a place that I believe in and I love, and all the great, players, but more importantly, the great human beings that I've been able to work with. It's truly an honor, and I'm excited to try to have more success and impact more kids in a positive way. But it was a special night.
When you played for Coach Cleary, what did you learn from him, and how have you applied that to your coaching style?
Well, I think he instilled a lot of confidence, in us as a group and in us as players. you know, I think he was pretty simple with his rules as far as team rules. It was don't do anything that, you know, hurts, you know, hurts the program or your family. And, you know, I think, you know, he kind of empowered, you know, the quality of people that were within the program to kind of manage that. And, you know, we were, you know, we didn't spend a lot of time, you know, worrying about the other team. You know, we tried to, you know, play a certain style and a certain with a certain speed and skill and all those things and how we managed relationships are all, you know, something that I try to emulate. Certainly he was, you know, an all-time great. So that's not an easy, you know, act to try to emulate. But, you know, I think, you know, as I get older, I, you know, I appreciate even more, you know, the experience I had here and want to provide, you know, the same, you know, level of enjoyment for our players.
How have you changed as a coach from when you first started to now?
Yeah, I think I've changed a lot, and I think you know, I think if you know if you're not changing, you're falling behind. Really, I think whether it's systematically, whether it's you know the times, whether it's you know NCAA rule changes or you know or stylistic changes. I think I'm very much a hockey fan and enthusiast and you know I watch a lot of hockey in the off season. I try to spend a lot of time talking, you know, to people. I'm fortunate to have some, you know, some good friends that are, you know, coaching at the highest level or working skills, and you know, I do really enjoy learning, you know, about, you know, how the game is changing. And so for me, you know, it's, you know, it's a learning process. And, you know, you know, I learned from my assistant coaches, I learned from, you know, from the players. And, you know, I think, you know, I want to try to stay as current as I can, you know, with, you know, what we're doing from a skill standpoint.
Now, I'm trying to remember when you came in. Did you have any coaching experience prior to becoming the head coach?
None. So yeah. So I had to learn a lot. I felt like the hockey part, you know, was natural, if you will. You know, my dad was a coach in, you know, pretty much growing up, you know, in, you know, in high school, coach football and basketball and baseball and, you know, a little bit of hockey. My younger brother's a coach, so I've been around it a lot. So the hockey, I think, was, you know, somewhat natural. But, you know, I think, you have to relearn, you know, how to teach and you know, and kind of, you know, I think the mistake sometimes is easy to make that you know, you feel like you knew all this stuff all the time when, you know, there's been a lot of years and, you know, you kind of watch a lot of people as a player, you watch a lot of people, you know, that are your coach, and you try to add in, you know, some of what you learn and, you know, being able to break it down so you, you know, you can help kids that are, you know, trying to, you know, learn elements of the game. So I think, you know, for me, it's, you know, certainly, you know, the hockey part came natural, the, you know, the strategy, but I do think, like, you know, I had to learn the recruiting landscape, I had to learn the admissions landscape, had to, you know, kind of had to learn, you know, how to, you know, build a program and, you know, and kind of, you know, work around all the things that are unique to college coaching versus just coaching a hockey team. And I think that it's been fun, but there was a lot to learn.
You mentioned the recruiting process. How has that changed, especially with the transfer portal? And how does that transfer portal affect a school like yours in the Ivy League? Because it's tough for you guys to get people out of the transfer portal.
Yeah, I mean, right now it's kind of a bizarre landscape. And I think that even, you know, I think most coaches would agree that, I think we all kind of recognize that, you know, hey, players should be able to, you know, have the freedom to be able to, you know, switch school if it's not, you know, a great fit for them. You know, maybe players should be able to, you know, take part if there's, you know, revenue being made. So a lot of that stuff, I think, you know, in theory, you know, most coaches would agree with, but I think the rollout's been awfully quick, you know, and, you know, whether it's, you know, junior hockey or NIL or, you know, opening, you know, different, you know, levels of professionals, you know, to college hockey. You know, it's I don't know if there's anybody to blame. You know, it certainly feels like the NCAA hasn't really been, you know, the NCAA for a few years. And I'm sure there's reasons for that. You know, with all the litigation and things like that. But, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, that there'll be a little bit more guardrails, if you will, you know, because I don't think, you know, I don't think when we talked about opening up to, you know, major junior players, you know, anybody had in mind that we would be opening up to, you know, guys that have played in professional hockey. Yeah. You know, and I think, you know, so I think there's right now there's been a lot of unintended consequences. You know, the movement is, you know, just seems somewhat out of control. And you know, I think, you know, as we move forward, I'm sure we'll put some guardrails up, you know, so that it'll make it a little bit, you know, more reasonable. You know, in some ways we're kind of operating old school style, if you will. You know, we want to recruit kids. We want to develop them. We want them to, you know, graduate from Harvard and, you know, enjoy, you know, their hockey opportunities, but also, you know, use it as a, you know, a life opportunity to, you know, to use your hockey to go to a great school and be part of that, you know, community and network going forward. So, you know, we still believe pretty strongly in that. You know, it's coming out of, you know, COVID and then the fifth year with COVID. It seems like we've kind of been dealt a curveball, you know, almost every 2 years. So hopefully, you know, as we settle down, you know, we believe, you know, that we'll be in a good spot and that we can have success and we can be a program that, you know, is successful on and off the ice, and guys that are still going to have the opportunity to not only play at a great level and go to a great school, but, you know, possibly, you know, move on and go play at, you know, the highest levels. So, so we do believe in, you know, kind of our, you know, process. It's just been a few curveballs in the last couple of years that have made it a little bit more challenging.
Your team's in fourth place right now, that last spot for the first round bye in the ACAC Hockey Tour, and 5 points up on sixth place Union. Talk a little bit about your team. What do you like about them?
Well, we've been resilient. You know, I think we've been a little bit streaky. So, you know, we've kind of, you know, you run off a few wins, run off a few losses. You know, I think, you know, we've had a goal all year to try to finish in that top four and get home ice and a bye. I just think that if you can pull that off, it just gives you a little bit better opportunity to maybe have a healthier team as you kind of come down the stretch. Maybe it allows you to, you know, avoid the one game where, you know, and I feel like this year that one game is as dangerous as it's ever been, because I feel like, you know, there's all sorts of teams, you know, that, you know, that have shown that they can be really good. You know, I think you look at, you know, Princeton, you look at Union, you know, Clarkson, you know, those are really good hockey teams that have put some really good wins together. So, you know, this is, you know, this would be a pretty, competitive two weekends here. And, you know, I think right now, for the most part, we have control over our destiny. We just have to go out and win the games in front of us.
You know, you did something on January 19th that nobody had done previously against Union, has not done since. You shut them out, that 4-0 victory there on that Monday afternoon. What was the key to that victory?
Well, I thought we did a good job killing a couple of their penalties. You know, I thought our goaltender was excellent. You know, we played, you know, with the lead. You know, and you know, I can say that, you know, I was happy with it at the time, but I'm even more, you know, more, you know, proud of it now that I see that they scored 11 goals last weekend, and watching that puck go in the net is as much as it has over the, you know, over the last few weeks for them. But they're a dangerous team. I mean, you know, I have a lot of respect. I think, you know, they're, you know, a very good team that, you know, is good offensively. You know, it's got really good balance, got some good leadership in some of their older guys. You know, Dunbar has been, you know, as good as anybody offensively in our league on the back end. So, you know, they pose a lot of challenges. I'm excited. We haven't played in the new building yet, so that should be fun. But this is, in some ways, it's got some playoff, you know, feel to it.
Yeah, you mentioned they scored 11 goals on the weekend. That was 11 goals without Brandon Burr, who was out of the lineup last weekend with a lower body injury. And the week before against Clarkson, they scored 7 in an 8-7 overtime loss. So they've been really putting the puck in the net, and it's kind of scary for a team like that.
No, I agree. I mean, I think they've all year they've done a good job, you know, with scoring goals. You know, as you said, Burr and Mothersbaugh, and you know, and you know, the numbers that Dunbar's putting up. You know, they're a dangerous hockey team, and you know, for us, you know, we've struggled recently trying to find the back of the net, and our power play is not where we want it to be. But you know, that can all be cleaned up at this time of year with some, you know, big goals and big games. So should be a great challenge for us this weekend.
Well, I know you love your Dunkin' Donuts coffee, and I don't know if you're staying at one of the hotels near the rink or whatever, but there is a Dunkin' Donuts within walking distance of the arena.
Well, that's great. That'll give us a little Boston feel to
it. Well, Ted, appreciate a few minutes. We'll talk to you on Friday after the game. I'll still look forward to seeing you.
Sounds great. Thanks for having me on, Carl. Okay. I don't know.
I kind of rhyme with on, I guess. Con! Thanks, again. I appreciate it. That's Ted Denial. We wrap up the podcast and have the latest winner in the Daily Gazette's Federation Contest for just a moment.
If you really want to know what's going on in your community, you have to read the Daily Gazette. We don't take a side. We're right down the middle, and we're going to get to the truth. Our reporters and photographers are out in the field bringing you updates every minute with trust, accuracy, and integrity. From the first page to the last page, independent, probing journalism. We're finding out what's going on in the community where nobody else is covering. It's who we are. It's what we do.
Back to wrap up the podcast. The week one winner in the Daily Gazette's auto racing contest was Gloria Lockhart of Amsterdam with 35 points. Gloria wins a $50 gift card. Congratulations, Gloria. The VIP winner was Scott Lusher of Capital Land GMC with 30 points. I'll announce the auto racing contest winner's name, and that winner's name will appear in Saturday's Daily Gazette. To play, go to dailygazette.com and click on the auto racing contest banner. Just because COVID-19 mandates are easing, that does not mean you should relax. Be vigilant. If you have not gotten vaccinated or received a booster shot, please do so. Do it for yourself, do it for your family, and do it for your friends. Don't forget to download the Daily Gazette app and sign up for our e-edition so you never miss a headline. Subscribe today at www.dailygazette.com. We have a lot of great specials going on. When credibility matters, trust the Daily Gazette. That wraps up another edition of the Parting Shots podcast. I want to thank Brandon Burr, Ethan Benz, Nate Hanley, Carter Corpy, Parker Lindauer, Colby MacArthur, Cal Mell, Brendan Miles, Nick Young, Tony Macy, Stephanie Bork, Maddie Leedy, and Ted Donato for being a part of the show. If you have questions or comments about the podcast, email them to me at shot, that's S-C-H-O-T-T, at dailygazette.com. Follow me on Blue Sky, X, and Threads at Slapshots. The views expressed on the Parting Shots podcast are not necessarily those of the Gazette News Group. The Parting Shots podcast is a production of the Gazette News Group. I'm Ken Schott. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch you next time. From the Parting Shots podcast studio in Schenectady, New York, good day, good sports.